This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I took a couple of days off.
And, yeah, we noticed.
And from what I hear, a lot of people would rather have not had me come back today. That wow. You two were so good together. So extraordinary together that you both brought out the great in each other that I guess I slow you both down. And if you tell me to step away, I'll step away for the next 2 days, take a nice long vacation. No. But I'm thrilled how great you guys were because the reviews are just outstanding.
Peter, do you want to go full disclosure?
Or yeah, no, I think he opened the can of worms. So I say you pour them all out on the table,
Don. All right, because we like to be open and honest on the show.
Always.
I am usually not very good without Michael. It just doesn't seem to work. From a managerial standpoint, I've always been called, Don, you're not the same. You kind of put on an announcer voice. You become different. You should try to be more
302 in the big city.
With Michael.
Right.
And all Ryan Hurley did was say that over the last 2 days, that's what they're talking about. They want more of that, more conversational. Don't all of a sudden become announcer boy because Michael's not there. When you drive the show, you need to be more relaxed. And I was actually receiving a compliment, Peter, as were you, that even though we missed Michael, these two shows were good. And he wanted to throw that compliment. Michael would not have it.
That's ridiculous.
Michael would just go about, then maybe I just don't come back then. Maybe the show's better without me. Peter, he just could not allow me to have 20 seconds of feeling good about myself.
That's so sad. It's just to have everything in the world, and
that's
yet
the
it's
way
not
you
enough.
Guys took it. I'm just saying that you were so good without me. The two days were great. Let me recharge my batteries. And if you were so great without me, then you could do without me for a while. That's all. I was glad that
so
you got
sad.
The compliment.
It's Don. It's you. Just
that
think,
last part is where he loses me.
He's Jordan. He's Jordan. You know, Jordan.
Not Jordan.
Jordan misses five games.
I've never slapped you for a bad segment.
Jordan misses five games. See, they go 5-0. He comes back and goes, if you love Scotty so much, maybe I'll just go play for Milwaukee.
Under that philosophy, Peter, right? The Yankees did tremendous last year without Stanton, without Judge, without Paxton, without Hicks. Right? And Yankee management saying, you know what? We did so well without those guys. Let those guys go. We're going to go with the team, the B team, because they did so much better. No, they're going to welcome back all the injured players, Peter. We played the sound from Brian Cashman. They want all those players back.
Of course they do.
But to Michael's philosophy, the Yankees did so well getting to the playoffs without those guys.
Why even
almost
bother?
Winning a championship without those guys. Let's let all those guys go. They're actually a better team without their best players.
I think it's sad. It's a you issue, not a me issue. I'm
really
thrilled that you guys did well. I'm just saying, since you did so well, let me step back a little. Now this gives me the portal to retire at some point, because I know that they wouldn't split you two up and bring in some hack. You guys could do it alone. I've been hanging on just to keep you guys employed. Don't you realize that?
And now you realize, we don't need you anymore.
No, you don't need me, so I can go whenever I feel it's time to go.
All right, Don.
That's the way I look at it. Not a negative. Why do you guys look at it as a negative? I'm so proud of you.
Let's take this under advisement. Let's take this under advisement. We'll make some considerations, but I think you'll still be useful with everything going on in baseball right now.
You're such
a jerk. Then when baseball's if it goes Buster Olney's way, the way he thinks it is,
he doesn't
like
want
a 5% chance of even getting started. Then once they cancel the baseball season, Michael can then go back on vacation.
Do you want to know what this show is without Michael?
It's called the show. Right. I got to tell you what I heard. What Buster said, I was kind of startled, and you know that I'm a huge fan of Buster's and have the utmost respect for him.
Big spot, Buster.
Big spot Buster. He always is.
Yep.
He's a champ, is what we like to say. But for him to essentially say 0% to finish it, now correct me if I'm wrong, and 5% to start, I really believe it, and I don't want to say this in the wrong way. The only thing that derails it is if somebody passes away. That would be just the worst case nightmare scenario where they have to step back and go, whoa, this just isn't worth it. But if a number of people went on the IL and had to be quarantined, there are 60 people for most teams that they can choose from. They can get a 30-man roster out of that. I was surprised that Buster has it 0% to finish and 5% to start. That means there's a 95% chance that this won't even get going at all.
And that's what we discussed with him yesterday, because now it just comes down to opinion. Because I do think you're going to see a lot of players back out. Players have backed out already, even before we got started. And I wouldn't be surprised if over the next 3 weeks of this spring/summer training, that you'll see a lot of players now actively seeing the protocol and going, you know what, I just don't feel comfortable. But even if you got like a bunch of players to walk away, I think Major League Baseball's committed to finishing this thing. I think they are. Now, if somebody, God forbid, passed away, if we're talking about teams not being able to put players on the field because so many of them are sick, it's a different story. But I think a mass exodus is just going to have those players be replaced. And even though it may be embarrassing to see kind of a World War II feel where, like, you have nothing but minor leaguers playing, I just still think it behooves baseball to just continue to march forward. And isn't there a possibility, Michael, that some of the guys that felt uncomfortable playing a month from now may say, hey, things are going well, things are trending down, I want back in, and may decide to come back in. So I understand where Buster's coming from, because I do think there's a lot that makes you feel uncomfortable, but would it be enough for them to pull the plug? Because I think pulling the plug would be an absolute disaster.
Don, 37 players have tested positive at Clemson football. They haven't even thought about canceling football. Now, it might get canceled for other reasons, but 37 players have tested positive. Have you heard one peep out of Clemson? Well, we're probably not going to do this.
Well,
I mean, I don't think it's we're going to play at any cost when it comes to hockey and it comes to basketball or baseball, but I think it's going to have to be something extraordinary, something extreme for them to pull the plug. The end game is to play this season. I don't think this is just like, you know, lipstick on a pig. They're really trying to play. And I think it's going to take something drastically terrible for them not to play.
But you can't rule out that drastically terrible can be on the table in some of the cities they're going to be playing in. I mean, I mentioned this yesterday. I saw news footage of a hospital in Arizona, Michael. It looked like New York circa March. I mean, some of the places they're playing, California, Arizona, Texas, Florida.
But they can relocate those teams. It's in the agreement. So if things get out of hand in Southern California, they'll move the Padres and the Dodgers and the Angels somewhere else. They'll have them play their games somewhere else. There is no home field advantage because there are no fans. So these games could easily be moved.
I just think that it's kind of disingenuous to me that on the one hand you have players that are so concerned about possibly contracting the virus.
Right.
And yet they voted against going to a hub.
But now listen to the hub though, Don. The hubs were supposed to be either California, Arizona, or Texas. They would have canceled the season now.
Well, that could have been moved because you see what's happening in the NHL. It sounds like all the reports are indicated that the NHL has come up with their two hubs, Edmonton and Toronto.
Yep.
It was supposed to be Vegas. Like, Vegas was done. It was locked in. Matter of fact, I heard reports a month ago that Vegas was locked in and that the Rangers and Islanders were going to play in Vegas. But guess what? Numbers spiked up in Vegas. They reversed course. Now Vegas doesn't have it. Now go to Toronto. And guess what? If in 2 weeks Toronto's numbers spike up, they might have to reconvene and do something else. That's why I don't understand why the NBA is so committed to Orlando. Why couldn't they have a backup hub? Why couldn't they find another city
because
to go
really
to?
It's really hard to do that, Don.
I know it's hard, but you know, I know I'm a hockey guy, and it's going to sound like that I'm kissing butt here, but that's why the NHL in their plan had 10 possible hubs. They gave themselves options. You know, the NBA's been committed to Orlando from the get-go. Were there any other options? Was there a backup city? Because if there were, they probably could pull it out of Orlando and go to that city. Right? Heck, they could have maybe gone to Toronto. They got an NBA team there. I mean, they have the facilities
it's impossible. Don, the thing that with the hub for the NBA, you need multiple courts. In Toronto, they have one court. You got to play all these games. You need multiple courts.
Well,
They only have
one court in the building where the Raptors play. But
okay, so what are they
going
to play at the Reebok Club?
Well, I mean, listen. How much do you really need for the for for games that aren't being nationally televised.
But they are being nationally televised. All of them are being nationally televised.
But why couldn't they? Listen, I know they're a little bit different because they're playing the 8 regular season games to finish up. But, you know, in Edmonton and Toronto, they're going to play in the 2 NHL buildings that are there. You know, and because they've got the 2 hubs and because 7 teams didn't go, they've got they've got 24 teams to the NBA's 22.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Hockey is playing its playoffs, right?
Yes.
Well, then the playoffs could be played at 1, at 4. You're messing with the regional sports networks if you're putting on games at 10 in the morning. And those games mean nothing to advertisers. So you've got to have enough facilities. And Arizona did with the outdoors and everything, and Texas might have. But you have to have enough facilities that you could play games in prime time.
But all they did, they've got 3 buildings in Orlando they can play in. You're telling me that's the only place in the entire North America that had 3 facilities in the same area that they could have played in?
That's true.
Well, they couldn't do a 2-hub system. I'm just saying is that they put all their eggs in the Orlando basket, and I'm sure it's no coincidence with the relationship with ABC and ESPN that it's Disney. But I'm sorry, Michael. I think if it doesn't work out in Orlando, not having a backup plan is going to make them look bad. The NHL announced 10 cities, and they finally narrowed it down to 2. 2 that are in, you know, Canada, where the spikes are not nearly as bad as they are in the United States. They gave themselves options.
By the way, it should be noted, it's the spikes we were worried about. Remember, Michael's, don't just worry about the numbers, worry about the hospitalizations. Well, it seems like all across the country, hospitals are running out of beds. It sounds like it's New York. It sounds like what we were dealing with in New York a few months ago is unfortunately now the problem we're seeing in Utah, Arizona, Texas, Florida, California. It's popping up everywhere.
I will tell you this, and I've heard some rumors over the last couple of days that the NBA might reconsider the people that are working as the support staff might be quarantined. And I think if they do that, I don't care that they're spiking in Orlando. If you quarantine everybody,
right,
including the workers, then
you should
be
fine.
That's a secure bubble. You should be fine.
I agree.
That's what worries me about baseball. Now, players are reporting today all around the country to their respective home stadiums. And you're going to either get workouts on Friday or Saturday because you have to. They're being tested today. And it takes 2 days for the test to come back. And then they'll see if they're okay. And we'll see how many people actually have tested positive. I assume that it's going to happen. But the problem is they have such a short period of time to get together that if a lot of people do test positive coming in because they've been all around the country, here's the deal. They're going to be shut down for 2 weeks. There's no way they'd be ready for the season to start. And if it's really important players, and if it's an entire pitching staff, then you have a little bit of an issue. Now, there was a story today that was shocking because so many people that don't want to wear masks or whatever the case may be, and we're not going to get into it because it becomes too political, but there's a pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs. I might be mispronouncing his name. I think it's Hadavi. He's 38 years old. I was reading today, he got the coronavirus 35 days ago. 38 years old, no underlying conditions, perfectly healthy. 38 days ago, he still has trouble breathing. He has cardiac problems. He's lost 18 pounds. Now, technically, he doesn't have the virus anymore. But if he was a player, he couldn't perform. And this is a guy who's totally healthy in the prime of his life at 38 years old. So for those that think, well, these athletes, there's no chance that they get it. There's very little chance they'll get it. But if a 38-year-old pitching coach could get it, you know what? A 30-year-old first baseman could get it. And that's not just shutting somebody down. That's somebody who is now impaired. And you know when they're going to get their functions back in terms of the breathing and the cardiac. You just have no idea. And those are the things that we're facing with all of this. And then you look at the Nets. The Nets, they have said today that they intend to go down to Orlando and play. But they're decimated. No Spencer Dinwiddie, and there's still a chance that he could play. Because if he gets through this, he could still report on time. And if he doesn't have... But he is feeling ramifications of having the virus. Shortness of breath, high fever. Perkins has already said he's not going. DeAndre Jordan, I'm not going. He has the virus, and he says he's not going. He could be over by the time that they have to report, but he says he's not going. Kevin Durant had it earlier. He said he's not going anyway, and that's because of the Achilles. They're going to have a 12-man team. And if you don't have Kyrie Irving and you don't have Spencer Dinwiddie, they might not even make the playoff round because they're a half game in front of Orlando, and
But they're six into the playoffs, though, with eight to play.
They're six into the playoffs, but if they lose all eight games, which is a possibility,
yeah, I mean,
and then Washington wins three, then all of a sudden there's going to be a play-in series. So that's one team that their hopes and dreams, whatever it might have been, crushed. If there's no Spencer Dinwiddie, no DeAndre Jordan, really, what chance do they have?
Well, I think that's part, but I think part of this is that they don't believe they have a chance anyway because it's so difficult in the NBA for upsets. Like, they'll probably not make it out of the first round. You know, if Durant and Kyrie were playing, Michael, I wonder if they would make more of an effort to be there. But as part of them, yeah, it's the coronavirus, but also, yeah, I don't want to risk myself to play eight lousy games and then get bounced in the first round.
What I don't understand, Don, and I would never, ever question, you know, the severity of anything, because you should never do that when it comes to physical ailments. But how does DeAndre Jordan test positive for this and then just unilaterally say, I'm not going? Because let's say there is no manifestation and he threw it within 2 weeks and you still have a week to report to Orlando. Why would you say you're not going? Because he's not saying he's not going because it's a bad time in our country and he wants to he's saying he's not going because he has COVID-19. But let's say he has COVID-19 and, like, Kevin Durant has no manifestation whatsoever. Why would you say right now that you're not going? Even Spencer Dinwiddie, who is suffering from symptoms, he's not asymptomatic, he's leaving open the possibility that he will go. So how could Jordan just completely say, I'm not going?
He doesn't want to go. Because I don't think he probably doesn't look at their chances of being very good.
If you're a Nets fan, I'm not trying to judge. I know there's a variety of things to judge here. There's the injuries with Kyrie and KD, and then there's, of course, there's Kyrie's concerns about the climate racially and socially, and then you have DeAndre and Dinwiddie. But if you're a Nets fan, do you really feel like your team is dialed in at all?
No, they're probably not, and they have an interim coach, too.
There's like a third of your team is uninterested in playing for one reason or another, and then you have an interim coach. It's just a weird time.
And you don't realize, Peter, that a year ago today, I believe it was a year ago today, they signed Jordan and Irving. And everybody said, this is the place to be, this is the franchise, and it's gone to hell. They got the coach fired. Kyrie Irving played 20 games. They were actually better when he didn't play. And Kevin Durant, well, we didn't expect to see him this year, but we didn't expect to not see him if they were still playing in July, but he's decided not to play. So the good feelings from a year ago completely wiped out. They don't even have a coach.
Yeah, there's a ton of question marks around that team. I'm curious if you're a Nets fan right now about how you're feeling about the future. Are you still pumped about next year, or do you have doubts now about everything?
Let's take some phone calls. We'll hear from Aaron Boone as well. He is saying that the Yankees' first official workout will be Saturday at Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
And the YES Network will have extensive coverage on that. He didn't say that. I'm saying it. Let's go into Nick in New Orleans. Nicky.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Before I get to the sports, I'll say, Michael, we miss you sorely. You forget Twitter, man. You are the reason for the show. Glad to have you back.
That's not what I'm hearing from executives, Nick. Nick, I'm not hearing that from executives.
From executives? Well, yeah. I haven't been included on those meetings. They must have not sent me the email and the invite to those meetings. But you know what? Hopefully I'll stand up for you there. I am a teacher in New Orleans, and one of the most frustrating things of these past 4 months has been the lack of clarity on what, you know, how we're going to personally go forward with this whole new kind of, they just keep pushing back the dates to return to school, you know, and it kind of feels like the same thing with the MLB and with sports. You know, the closer we get to when things should be starting up again, the more complicated it becomes, and there just seems to be like a lack of clarity. Now, I'm just wondering what you guys think about that. As we get closer to these start dates, how it will
be. A lack of clarity on what? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Lack of clarity on how it'll return, the testing, what it'll look like, safety procedures, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, but Nick, there's clarity. I mean, they have like over 100 pages of protocol for each sport. Their clarity how they're going to do it. There's just not clarity on what would derail it. How many infections would derail it? Don't know. I mean, there's a lack of clarity about this virus around the world.
That's where it is. There's no lack of clarity of protocol, but we just don't know what direction this virus is going to go. I mean, Michael, right now it's July 1st, and they're spiking in certain places. Like, we're concerned about certain states. And a month from now, there may be other states we're concerned about and less concerned about the states we were just concerned about, right? Because you can flatten the curve. We saw it happen in New York. So we don't know what's going to happen. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here. But as far as the leagues are concerned, Michael, I'm sure you saw it. It's like it's almost 100 pages, the protocol in Major League Baseball, of all the things that they have to do.
Yeah, they've tried to cover everything. I think they've done a good job. But there's always going to I think the crack in Major League Baseball, I've told you the crack in basketball. The crack in baseball is that once they leave the ballpark, they can do whatever they want, especially home games. You know, if they're on the road, you know, you would assume that everybody's going to come back to the hotel because they'll be prying eyes. But when you're playing in your home city, you can go wherever you want. Athletes are young, and they want to go where they want to go. Let's see how that rolls. Josh in Long Island. Josh.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, first time caller. Thanks for taking the call.
Welcome
Thanks,
aboard.
Josh.
You know, my main concern with having a season back is just the timeline for what you have to consider when someone gets sick, when they're in quarantine. If you have to quarantine, you have to quarantine for 14 days of the New York State contact tracing guidelines. Right. You have to quarantine for 14 days. And in that time period, you might start to feel symptoms. That's because in 14 days, you might start feeling symptoms. That can happen on day 14. And then you have to isolate yourself for another at least 10 days. Because that's the average for people to start feeling better. I just personally don't see how they can get sports back running on that kind of timeline. Because even if you start feeling symptoms, and you might not know either, you can be infecting people for 2 days prior to that. It's, you know, the reason there's no guidelines is because there's also just not a lot people understand about the virus in the first place. And you know, it's frustrating for a lot of people. I think they want to go back to normal for a lot of things, but I don't know. I personally just don't see it happening. And plus, one of the other things, too, I always kind of personally felt if, you know, professional sports have been canceled in the past because of contract disputes, I didn't see why health, you know, a pandemic would not be the thing that they would cancel.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of issues here. You know, it's also a financial issue. These are big businesses. For baseball not to play at all this year, and then to say, oh, let's just cross our fingers that they have better treatment and a vaccine by next February 14th. I mean, you're spitting into the wind. You're hoping that. You keep hearing people say, well, there could be a vaccine by September or December, but then it might not be available to so you're going to cancel next year, too? And I'm not a proponent one way or the other. Which, if they decided to cancel, I'd get it. If not, I get it. I understand. It's an $11 billion industry. It's hard to just wave the hand and go, that's it, they're done.
Yeah, and
there's
remember,
a lot of things at stake. There's a lot of jobs, and not just baseball players. People involved in the industry.
And I think that's a big mistake people make, is they think this whole thing is like, is it really worth it just for the purpose of entertaining us? It really does. There's so much money. There are businesses a lot smaller that are returning to normal because people need to work.
And you were off on Friday, and we took exception to what Adam Silver said. We're coming back for the good of the country. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're coming back because of the money. And I understand it. I'm not looking down my nose at that. But don't make it like it's a mission, that it makes an essential business. The offshoot of them coming back for money is that it will make people feel better. It will be a somewhat of a return to normalcy. But that's not why they're coming back.
No.
They're just not coming back for that reason. That's just putting a completely different false spin on it. That's the result of them coming back. That's not the reason that they're coming back. I just don't buy it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
We like to be topical in the top five. Yesterday we were topical, Michael, because it was Mike Tyson's birthday. Monday we were topical because Cam Newton signed with the Patriots, so we went with the top five free agent signings under Bill Belichick with New England.
Today's Canada Day. Oh, it sure is. Happy Canada Day, everyone.
Today is Canada Day. Very exciting for our neighbors up north.
I would love being Canadian.
That's right.
How about the top five
Canadian
players, non-hockey? So these top fives reside in the other three major sports, basketball, baseball, and football.
I will start because I'm better. And to be honest, I love Canada more than Michael.
And he wants to keep his streak alive of nailing the first one.
I don't know if I'm going to nail the first one. I'm going to go with Stephen J. Nash.
That's number one. Steve Nash is number one. Suns, Mavericks, and Lakers. Victoria, British Columbia. Hall of Famer. Two-time MVP in 05 and 06 in 8 All-Star games. Steve Nash is number one.
Michael, would you have gone Nash number one?
Nope, I would not have.
Oh, wow. So I really won. I earned it today, Don.
How about newly crowned Hall of Famer Larry Walker?
I've got Larry Walker at number three. Expos, Rockies, and Cardinals. Maple Ridge, British Columbia. He's just inducted into the Hall of Fame, or soon will be, would have been coming up this month. 5 All-Stars, 7 Gold Gloves, 3-time batting champion. Larry Walker, number three.
Why'd you go with Canada Day and not, you know, Happy Bobby Bonilla Day?
Did you consider it?
No.
You didn't even
Bobby Bonilla got his $1 million payout that he'll continue to get till 2036. He gets it every July 1st.
Yes.
More than a million. And I have to say, it's pretty impressive that it actually does trend every single year.
And you know what? He it shows you what the Madoff meant to the Wilpons, because he was only owed $6 million that they deferred. So it was turned into $30 million because it's an 8% interest each year. And they were getting 10% from Madoff.
Ooh.
Okay.
Let's return to the top five.
All right, I'm back.
You both have done well. You're both one for one.
Well, we're one for one, but this is... I'm hitting
serious. Now the pressure's on Peter. Although, it really shouldn't be.
Pressure shouldn't be on me, meaning it should be easy for me.
Well, unless you just don't know.
But there's always a possibility with him.
There's always a good possibility.
Because you know this player. You rooted for this player. You were proud of this player. This player came through for you.
This player came through for me.
Yeah.
Drake.
No, Drake. Drake never played.
Are you talking about my affinity?
From the bottom, now he's here.
Are you talking about my affinity for Dr. James Naismith?
No.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Probably just don't know, because...
Can I guess while he's thinking?
Go ahead.
Please.
How about Justin Morneau?
No, I just had him on the outside.
Oh, so you thought about it.
For a brief second, but... I don't have him in the top five, no.
How about Leo Routens?
No Leo Routens. No Jason Bay. Don't even go there.
Leo Routens has a great thing he does on Twitter each day. He's about somewhere near his pool, and he does twine and wine. So he hits this outrageous shot on his pool basketball court, and then he has a glass of wine.
Oh, nice.
Twine and wine.
Well, that's not good enough to be on the list.
He's a great basketball player.
I rooted for him.
Yeah, you rooted hard for him, and he came through.
Mike Devereaux.
No. This guy came through on arguably the biggest stage in sports.
Arguably the biggest stage in sports.
Yeah.
That means it's a championship.
He was a good guest on this show.
He's never been a guest on this show.
Well, this is the biggest stage in sports.
No, that's center stage, I thought.
He was the MVP of the biggest game in sports.
The MVP of the Super Bowl,
yes,
was Canadian.
Yes.
Mark Rippon?
Mark Rippon.
I did
born
not know.
Calgary,
nope.
Alberta.
No. Did not
grew
know.
Grew up in Washington State, but he was born in Calgary,
wow.
Alberta. Most of his time with the Redskins. That's Peter's own. MVP of the Super Bowl. Two-time Pro Bowler. He is number five.
Wow.
All right,
no.
Now, if you don't have this, the right. list is illegitimate.
I yes. love that. That's my favorite guess from Michaels. When
four
the pressure's...
and two are right up there. So maybe they're going to nail it or Michael's going to walk off.
Ferguson Jenkins, Hall of Famer.
Ferguson Jenkins is number two, Michael.
Yeah!
Phillies, Cubs, Rangers, and Red Sox. Chatham, Ontario.
Yeah!
National League Cy Young Award winner, three-time All-Star, also struck out 3,192. Fergie Jenkins is number two.
I love myself.
Hint for number four, he's still playing.
Number four is still playing.
Yeah.
I love when Peter repeats it to give himself some time to think.
It's a crutch.
You want any further hints?
I'd like to know what sport we're going to.
Baseball.
How high level a player are we talking about?
Well, he's a former MVP. He's a six-time All-Star from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Wow. Makes a lot of money. He makes a lot of money.
Oh, a lot of money.
World champion, six-time All-Star.
Oh, I didn't say a world.
No, he said MVP.
I said he was an MVP. National League MVP. How about that?
National League MVP. Is he a pitcher?
No.
It's a position player.
You could say the money he's making prohibits the team he's on from really being very good.
Oh. Well, then... it would have to be,
yes,
a player,
yes,
on,
yes,
the,
yes,
Dodgers.
No, why would the Dodgers have any financial issues?
How about this? Can I try?
Yeah, you could try. I think you're gonna get it.
Joey Votto. I think he's from Canada.
Joey Votto from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, 2010 National League MVP, six-time All-Star. Joey Votto is number four. So Mark Rippon, five. Joey Votto, four. Larry Walker, three. Ferguson Jenkins, two. Steve Nash, number one.
All this in Canada is, today.
I got to tell you, it's not a glowing list for Canada.
You're taking out their best sport, man.
I understand.
That's not fair.
I understand.
Loves Canada.
No. I'm not saying it's Don's fault. I'm saying it's Canada's fault.
I would also love being Canadian.
They really struggle in football. I'm not even sure how many of them in the CFL are Canadian.
In my brain, I thought Doug Flutie for a second, but he's not Canadian.
No.
He was born in Maryland.
But he dominated up there. Dominated. Warren Moon.
Yeah, there are a lot of players who went up there and were great.
Yeah.
But no. You would just think, though, considering the proximity, the cultural similarities, you would just think there'd be a bigger, I mean, considering Dr. Naismith's Canadian, you would just think there'd be more NBA presence.
Leo Routon, Steve Nash, what do you want?
I'm going to see. I bet Don forgot someone. That's right.
Well, I'm sure Twitter will remind me.
So how is... now, I've heard great things about Last One Standing, what it became the last 2 days, where Don took on a listener and got crushed twice.
Yesterday was really a tough one to lose to a 16-year-old.
That's
right. 16-year-old?
That's right. Now, of course, R.J. Barrett's here right now, but we don't know how that's going to turn out.
You want him on? You really want him on that list?
No,
really?
I don't.
You want him on?
But it's worth mentioning.
Justin Morneau, who won an MVP, he's not on the list.
What about the great Kelly Olynyk? Tristan Thompson. Andrew Wiggins is a very good player.
Yeah, but I think I'm standing by the five I have.
I don't know if Mark Rippon's better than Andrew Wiggins.
Well, we'll see. Super Bowl
I mean,
MVP,
he wasn't
bro.
Very good.
Two Pro Bowls.
He was on that 91 team. Was I could have quarterbacked them to a Super Bowl.
Oh,
yeah, but
strong.
Could you have gotten an MVP?
So that's a great point. But they always give the Super Bowl quarterback an MVP. 9 times out of 10.
Well, if you basically described Trent Dilfer, he didn't win the MVP.
Well, he's the one out of the 10.
But I'm ready to take you on, Michael.
Unless you want to take on a caller again. No. It's up to you.
Okay. You know what? Enough. It's going to be you guys one-on-one. We hyped it. It's a very rare two-day series. People are very excited. And Don not only has gotten stomped out by Michael for the last few weeks, but then is losing your children. This is a big day. Don needs to dig deep and get a win.
Did you see? This is kind of distressing news. So the Field of Dreams game has not been canceled. It's two other teams now.
Who is
in the National League? I think it's the Cubs and the Cardinals.
Well, why are they changing teams?
Because you...
Location?
You couldn't have... What was the reasoning?
It wasn't proximity?
It had to be somebody in the Central, because... And the Yankees aren't playing someone in the Central.
Oh, I see. So the Yankees-White Sox game isn't, you know, been canceled, basically, because of the schedule.
Well, it has been canceled because of the schedule, right? So it'd have to be, Yankees Mets or something like that.
Why don't we just wait till next year?
You would think that out in that field in Iowa, they'd be okay.
You're not going to have fans.
No.
So just wait till next year. Just trying too hard, bro.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. Today, two opponents enter.
I hate Don.
I'm Don LaGreca, sidekick to Michael K.
Only one makes it out.
Let's go with Don!
Who will win this deadly competition where the standings don't matter? What? We find out.
Okay.
In the latest edition of Last One Standing.
Welcome to Last One Standing. And for the last day, at least at this time, I will be doing the show from Chevy Chase, Maryland. That's right. I'll be back in New York tomorrow. I know you were guys concerned about it, but I'll be close.
Can we get a Mindy appearance today? Can we do that?
You want my mom to appear on the show?
I would like her on the show.
She was in the meeting on Monday, Michael.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And she actually, we didn't see her on air, but she came in to open the blinds for Peter during the show, which is her way of checking in, make sure he's okay. He didn't, like, strangle himself with the mic cord or something.
Mom? Mom!
It sounds like...
Hey, Mom! Meatloaf! Mom, Michael wants you to make an appearance on the show.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
What'd you say? Your hair?
Oh, no.
She's going to try to fix up her hair. So maybe we'll have her at the end of Last One Standing.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Tell her you go on the air with no hair. What's the difference?
It's a good point. And I'm doing the show from the basement, so I really am Will Ferrell in the show, in the movie.
Love it.
All right, guys. Michael will go first today, as Don went first yesterday.
Did he really lose to a 16-year-old?
That's correct. Wow. That's correct.
I shouldn't feel that great about beating him, is what you're saying.
What did you lose on again, Don?
The three starters on the 91 Duke team.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Michael. Three starters on the 91 Duke team.
I have no idea.
Hold on. It's the first Duke championship team with Coach K. Name three of the five.
Oh, no.
You know none?
So I went Christian Laettner, Grant Hill, and I said Danny Ferry instead of Bobby Hurley.
Hmm.
But how did Michael just punt on and didn't even take a shot?
I'm not using my brain power to think of. I could have come up with something, but I'm not using it in something that doesn't count.
That's fine. I feel better, Peter.
You should. All right, guys, it's time for Last One Standing. Okay, Michael, you ready?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan is the Bulls' all-time leading scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Who's number two on that list?
Now, the easy one would be Scottie Pippen, but it might not be the case. I'm going to have to call somebody.
Okay.
Well, what do you mean, okay?
What's your choice?
Do it.
Yeah, maybe I won't.
Okay.
Let's say Pippen. He was there a long time. I was thinking maybe Derrick Rose, but let's say Pippen.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I helped give it to you by you could see I was exasperated that you were going to waste it because it was a first round question, so it's an easy
but
answer.
But I could see that there'd be a little trickery, a little chicanery.
No chicanery. Right?
Thank you, Doc.
It's Scottie Pippen. And this week's last one standing is sort of like the baseball season. It's a shortened week. This is the equivalent if we had a shortened season. Just 2 days. Michael starts off with a big, big W. Don, you ready?
Yes.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Four NFL coaches have lost four Super Bowls. Can you name two of them?
Lost four Super Bowls? Well, Tom Landry would be one, and Marv Levy would be the other.
And Bud Grant would be one.
Bud Grant would be one. And then you would go to... that's what I have.
What's your final answer, Don?
Well, since we've wasted so much time, and he just threw out what probably would be one of my other guesses... Because Landry lost to the Dolphins, he lost to the Steelers twice. I'm gonna stick with and the Colts. So I'm gonna that'll be my final answer. Yes,
Landry and Levy.
Yeah,
this is an unfortunate start.
Wait, Landry lost to the Colts, the Steelers twice, and.
I thought this would be easy. And
well, all right. Well, listen, I lose. All right, let's move on.
If the names
give
I have
my final answer, then he throws out one of the guys that if I given a second, I could have said Bud Grant because he lost four.
Bud Grant
and Dan Reeves. Like so,
but I didn't say you couldn't use it. I just said what's your final answer.
All right, but all right. That's it. That's okay.
Tom Landry is not on the list.
I refuse to win this way.
The list is Don Shula, Marv Levy, Bud Grant, and Dan Reeves. Now, Michael, you did interfere in his answer.
Right, so give him another question.
I'm actually going to because that was wrong the way it happened.
He wouldn't have gotten it anyway. He was locked in on Landry, but I'm feeling very
He felt very passionately about Landry, but you still messed it up, Michael. You can't go throwing out answers before someone says final answer.
So I guess the Dolphins, they beat the Dolphins, and I'm just, all right, whatever.
I just love hearing you continue to work through it.
Well, but I was trying to work through it, and...
No, we're going to continue on. That wasn't right. Here we go. What NFL moment prompted friend of the show, Joe Buck, to utter the words, "That is a disgusting act"?
Well, it's Randy Moss mooning the Green Bay Packer fans. Final answer. A little over the top by Buck.
Correct.
Kevin Seifert is reporting NFL has shortened its preseason to 2 games. One home, one away.
That's still too many.
They might do that. Still too many, but still, that's good.
Michael? This player hit more home runs than anyone else during the 1990s.
Why don't we
give an answer?
Why don't we go with Griffey?
Would that be your final answer?
Maybe I'll use RJ. It's not my final answer. RJ.
Who did you have another? Because I have another name of mine. I'm curious if it matches who
was McGuire.
That's who I would have went with.
Would have gone with.
Sorry. But if you know better.
No, I don't know better.
I think you do. You're fresh off vacation. Your mind is 100%.
Yeah, but McGuire had, you know, 70 home runs in 1998 alone.
And the year before, he had, what, 52 or something?
And then at the beginning of his career, which was 89, he had 49. Had a lot of injuries, too.
I think I'd go McGuire. But you know best.
No, don't weasel out. We'll go McGuire, final answer.
405 to 382 in favor of Mark McGuire over Ken Griffey Jr.
There you go. That's working it out. It's working.
Don.
Yes.
10 times in Jets history has a player rushed for at least 1,200 yards in a season. Curtis Martin did it 6 times. Don, can you name one of the other running backs to accomplish this feat?
I would think Freeman McNeil. Because I don't think Thomas Jones did. So I'll say Freeman McNeil.
Would have accepted Thomas Jones, who did it twice. Freeman McNeil. You're correct. You're fine. You're doing well. And Adrian Morrell, if you were looking for another one.
Oh, there you go. That's a good blast from the past.
Okay. Michael, you ready?
Yeah.
Glad.
Okay. Or do you want to take a timeout because we're right up against the break?
Let's finish this on the back end.
We could squeeze one in.
No, let's finish it on the back end.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we're in the middle of a hotly contested last one standing. And because I have respect for the clock, unlike my two co-hosts, I said, let's take a break and then come back to it. Because we've got a lot of stuff to hit today. So we took a break. We're back to it. Peter, take it over.
You ready?
Yeah.
It's Michael time, and I said I was going to step things up, and it's going to get hard. This is actually listed as a Don question, but I'm asking it to Michael. Michael.
Yes.
Only one player in hockey history.
What a jerk.
You want to keep things moving? We got to keep it moving.
Let's do that hockey.
Only one player in NHL history has won the Conn Smythe 3 different times. Who is that player? I'll give you time on this.
I'm going to have to call somebody. I can't. To give me a hockey question, it's unbelievable that you've done this.
Do you think it's wrong?
I do think it's wrong. I think it's a trap.
Don, how well do you know the answer, Don?
I believe I do.
This guy will. This guy will.
This guy should.
If it's Carlin, I'm kind of down on Carlin today.
Why are you down on Carlin? And I can't imagine it's Carlin.
Because I'm picking up lunch today and I'm listening and like, oh, you know, the two sports returning, baseball and basketball. I'm like, all right, I guess I don't have further work. I guess I don't have to worry about, you know, possibly doing Rangers.
Not answering. This doesn't help anybody.
Who would he be calling, Peter?
Rick.
Yeah, that's probably it, right?
Chris.
Oh,
it was Chris.
Wow. You get the hand.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go to Rick now. I don't like to bother Rick because he has children.
Don, this will be very interesting, in my opinion.
Why?
To see what Rick does here. This is because this is high pressure.
You don't think Rick can do it?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, this is unprecedented. Wow.
I don't have anybody. I could try Giannone, right?
Yeah, please. I just want to see how many times.
This is the last try, though.
He goes to voicemail.
You're going to have to just.
This could be fun.
I can't even find Giannone's number now.
No.
I'll call Gino for you.
You can call Don.
Yeah, can I use Don? Can I use you? Yeah, I guess I can't find Giannone's cell.
Do you want me to call Giannone?
Oh, no, wait. Let me check here. All right, here he is.
Okay. He sees Michael K on the phone, Peter. He's got to pick up.
Oh, yeah. He's running.
I'm like legitimately concerned about Rick. There's no way Rick saw Michael K and hit the voicemail. So something's wrong at the DPA trial.
Maybe his phone's just off.
Let's see if there's a hat trick here.
This looks like it's a hat trick.
Hi, this is John.
Wow.
Oh. All right, give me the question one more time, Peter. I'll try to answer it. Conn Smythe. So that's a playoff MVP, right, Don?
That's right.
Let's go with...
three-time winner.
It's got to be somebody who's won a lot of Stanley Cups. So it's either Gretzky. Here, Giannone's calling back.
Okay.
You know what? Maybe I don't even need him.
What? All right, go ahead.
You shot him down?
Yeah, I shot him down. Let's go Patrick Waugh.
He
final answer.
Got texted. Somebody texted.
Andrew's not here today, right?
I'm
officially starting
this as you'd like to
there's
say.
There's an investigation.
Like, oh, it's got to be somebody like Gretzky. I'm starting. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Patrick Waugh.
I'm starting an investigation.
Oh my God. I'm starting. Oh my God.
I have like to file that. An
I
investigation.
I don't like to do that, but Peter, just reading the room, he had to get text that. He had to. Just because he's like, it had to be somebody with a lot of cups. It probably like
Carlin just texted me. Carlin texted me. I was napping. The phone rang and I let you down. Yeah, you did, Chris.
Let him have it because we have no evidence. But
I'm sure that people will tweet us the video. I'm sure people will tweet us video of his eyes lighting up. And then he randomly shoots down Giannone. Why would he shoot him down?
Right,
because someone else texted the answer.
His lifeline is
Carlin.
Carlin's going
to be hosting this show on Friday. On 98.7. It won't be on Yes. On 98.7 starting at 3.
We don't have any...
Carlin.
Right. Is that your final answer?
Patrick Waugh, my final answer.
That is correct. Don, were you going to guess the same?
Yes, I was going to steal it.
Wow.
Give Don a hard question now.
Yeah,
give him something on basketball, really. You little creep.
Yeah, give me a hard one that was for Michael.
All right. Okay.
Now I know who not to call for microphone, a friend.
When Carmelo Anthony was traded to the Knicks.
Oh, sure.
New York gave up a total of 3 draft picks and 6 players, 4 to Denver and 2 to Minnesota. Can you name 2 of the players involved in that deal?
Yeah, you're a joke.
I just
can't think slanted to Don.
Well, because I can't. I'm just trying to think of the players they gave up. I can only think of the one, and for some reason, his name isn't popping into my head.
So you're not thinking of him then?
Because it ends in an M.
It ends in an M.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. All right.
Let's call Alan Hahn.
That's why. No, I'm not going to call Alan Hahn.
Call Giannone.
No, I'm gonna go.
Just go on Google.
Better. No, I'm not gonna go on Google. I'm just going through my.
That's
names
what Michael
right
would
here.
Do.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Do you think I went on Google? Is that what you think?
You went on Google Adjace.
Let's see.
What is Google Adjace? Is this a new company?
Google Adjace is when you just read the text message that
Google
you
Adjace, something Sergey Brin is putting together.
This is.
I don't know if he would answer the phone.
Who? Who's
Once you get to a third ring, you never feel good.
He's just not going to be expecting a call from me because I'm probably not in his phone.
Your call has been forwarded to
That'll
an automatic voice message.
Who are you calling?
Leave the number.
No. Oh. I was calling Breen.
That would have been a really, really good person to call.
All right, so...
whole 5 o'clock hour wasted with this show.
Oh, there's no such thing anymore. People don't work the same way they used to.
Carmelo Anthony. The Carmelo Anthony deal. Can you name two players? You still have RJ.
No, I don't, because I used RJ earlier in the week. Let's do
Don, we're going to need something here. One more call. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi, Dave Rothenberg. How are you?
Wow. I'm in the car, but I'm well, Donald. How are you?
All right. I don't know if you've been listening.
We had it on for a few minutes. All right. You guys still involved in a...
Yeah, we're involved in a pretty good one.
The last one standing.
The Carmelo Anthony deal.
Yeah.
Right? To Denver and Minnesota. Give me two of the players the Knicks gave up.
Gallinari.
Right.
And Wilson Chandler, I believe.
Okay, I was going to say Wilson Chandler was the one that I was trying to think of his name.
Yes,
I think Gallinari is the
right.
other one.
Mm-hmm.
So
did
I'm
you
gonna
get it right?
Yeah, well, that'll be my final answer.
It was Gallinari.
Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Timofey Mozgov.
Mozgov was the one I told you with an M.
But you said ended with an M. That's
you said
middle.
Ended.
Yeah.
Well, I meant my last name with an M. That's
that
what I meant.
That still doesn't end.
Dave, thank you.
You're welcome.
I love you like no other.
I got to tell you, Dave is, not only does he get everything right, but what a beautiful phone line.
But that's
here
what I meant. Like,
clear.
His last name begins with an M. Mozgov, that's
the
one. That's
what you said. And
none of us understood that.
But I said it wrong, but I'm just saying, if it was Mozgov, and I would have thrown out Wilson Chandler if I had to. So I feel pretty good about that. All right, we move on.
Michael, the 2000 Giants.
Wait,
were guided
football
to
or baseball?
You'll understand.
That's good.
The 2000 Giants were guided to the Super Bowl by Jim Fossil. Can you name his offensive and defensive coordinators?
Oh, boy. I'm gonna have to call somebody.
Can you still call somebody?
I don't think.
Why not?
I mean, one call.
Don't tell me what to do. Oh no. Ah, I messed it up. Okay, here we go.
Not to put any pressure, but I believe I can steal.
John Fox and Sean Payton, I believe, Michael.
What was that? This is Dave Rothenberg. I'm using him too. So who was the offensive coordinator in 2000, and who was the defensive coordinator?
I think it's John Fox and Sean Payton.
John Fox and Sean Payton, because Dave bankrupted himself to go to that Super Bowl. Final answer.
Dave continues to be perfect.
Dave, you're an amazing human being, and I love you so much.
Love you, Michael. Bye.
Have a great day.
So this game is just going to do such wonders to inflate his head. He's so good.
It's true.
All right.
Now it ends because I'm out of everything.
We might have to. This is horrible, but I think to end today so we don't take up this entire segment.
Yep. You're going to kill me and then we can move on.
We're going to do one Who Am I?
Wait. He's got one more question. I just answered a question.
Oh, no, you're right. I forgot.
What do you mean?
You have one question. I went first. You go second.
No, I'm saying he's going to give me the kill shot here because I'm out of lifelines. He's going to ask me something I can't possibly know, and it's over. That's what I'm saying. That's what you were saying, Peter, right?
No, I was going to say that if you get this, we're going to a Who Am I to end it.
Okay. But I'm not going to get it.
This NFL team has led the league in average attendance per game every season since the 2009 season.
Geez, the Broncos sell out every game. Seattle could be in there too.
Seattle.
But I believe the building in Denver is bigger, so I will say Broncos final answer.
There will be no need for a Who Am I.
There you go.
But it's like
is
he
it
wanted
the Cowboys?
To. That's right, Michael. The huge stadium. It's the Dallas Cowboys. No building holds more people than the Monstros in Dallas. Wow.
Jerry World.
Another epic day. It included Michael outright cheating. Now, Don, do you want to protest? You want to protest this, right?
I just want to say this, and if it's wrong, I'm not very good at this. I get it, all right? I mean, life has proven that. But just like we say with Alex Rodriguez, just what you said yesterday with Bill Belichick, how do we know he hasn't been doing it all along?
Right.
Because he's been caught numerous times cheating. Yeah. So
caught? When have I been caught cheating?
Oh, the
liar?
Video. There was Michael, video evidence.
Video. There's video. There's you. I believe it, this is in my heart now, and I'm not being a sore loser, that you beat me because you cheat.
Today?
Every day.
Certainly today.
No, you believe what you want. Let's just look at the scoreboard, and you got destroyed by a 16-year-old, and then you got annihilated by a 59-year-old. So
I don't know if there's annihilation. There's winning and losing. There's no annihilation. We get asked
there's annihilation, Jace.
And then the really crazy part is, just like Belichick, he's good anyway, but still cheats.
Don't tell me I cheat unless you have proof that cheat.
I'm looking.
They had proof. They had proof that Belichick cheated. There's no proof I cheated.
No, Patrick
Waugh came into my head.
No.
If I would have said Patrick Roy, okay, then somebody obviously had texted it to me.
Oh, well, you know how to pronounce his name.
How do you know? How do you know I know? No, you know. How do you know?
Really?
You're calling me a charlatan. I will not have it.
Because of the yes situation, we can't go back and just see how you looked at your phone and went, oh.
I was looking at my phone the whole time. I was trying to call Giannone.
Right. And I think
someone,
you failed
someone
calling.
Said, and we're going to have to investigate this, that there was actually a reflection of a text message conversation in his glasses right before he said Patrick Waugh.
Okay, why don't you blow that up?
Wow,
anyway,
that's pretty deep, man.
I give a lot of credit to a guy who usually does not go out on a limb, who usually does not say the politically incorrect thing, but Derek Jeter, one of the owners of the Marlins, stepped forward yesterday, and I think he did himself proud, and a guy like Derek Jeter saying this could actually move the needle, in my opinion. Listen to what he said. It's on a podcast, I think, that the Marlins are producing. Here's Jeter. It's called The Line Drive, about the trust between the owners and the players.
It was disappointing. It was embarrassing at times, the back and forth. But there's a lot of trust that needs to be, there is no trust, I should say, is the best way to put it. And hopefully things will change moving forward. But it was pretty sad to see the back and forth being played out publicly in a time like now. And we have so many people filing for unemployment throughout the country, over 30 million people, 40 million people with no jobs. And they really don't want to hear owners and players going back and forth about how much money they deserve and how much money they need. And I get it. Look, I was a player. And I feel as though the players should fight for everything that they feel as though they should have. And I'll always support them in that sense. But in this particular case, I think some things should have been done behind the scenes.
I got to tell you what. I've seen some of his best moments. I've been lucky enough to do that. Piggyback on his great moments. I don't know if I've ever been prouder of the guy. Because when this guy, who is an icon, speaks out like that, he didn't take any side. He's an owner now. He said, I was a player and I want them to get the most. But the fact that he articulated everything that we've articulated, but it doesn't matter that we say it, Derek Jeter just shamed both sides. And I would hope that that gets their attention somewhere down the line, that somebody of that stature just stepped up as an owner, which I'm sure the other owners don't appreciate.
Right,
and as a former player, which I'm sure the other players don't appreciate, he shamed both of them because what we've been saying over and over, the situation that's going on in our country, both with the social unrest and with the coronavirus, it was the wrong time to have a fight. And Scott Boras came out and was quoted as saying there should have been 100 baseball games being played. And we should have grabbed the market. We would have gotten new fans. We should have been playing for over a month before anybody else. Now, Scott Boras might be one of the reasons why they didn't.
Correct.
But at least he understands that they missed their chance. But the fact that Derek Jeter, who no one has an axe to grind against, said what he said as strongly as he said it and articulated it as perfectly as he did, I hope that that has legs, Don and Peter, because I hope that somewhere down the line, when they get together for the CBA and the world's in a better place, they understand that there has to be compromise.
Now, he's Derek Jeter, right? So it's really hard to hate Derek Jeter, but he could put himself in a bad situation with both sides now.
Yep.
you know, the players could be upset with him to where maybe do they not want to, not that the Marlins are a destination anyway with what a financial wreck they are, but, you know, are players right now feeling like he's betrayed them as a former player? And are the owners like, well, gee, thanks a lot, Derek. You know, you're working with us now and you're blowing the whistle on what we're doing here. So I applaud him because that can't be easy to end up being a pariah on both sides.
I was
he's an owner,
when he
but he's also
it,
a former player, and he's also someone. You know what had happened? He's disgusted because he was somebody that never used the media. Not that he had a poor relationship with the media, but he was somebody that always wanted to keep stuff close to the vest, and he probably was disgusted with both sides leaking things out.
Not exactly it. He's not saying that you shouldn't fight for what you need.
Right.
But the fact that it became public, nobody wanted to hear it. And baseball missed an opportunity because neither side wanted to move. And in this climate, they should have moved. Both sides should have moved. I don't know which side should have moved more, but both sides should have moved. And when the players come and the one argument that, well, we already gave up a lot of money. You didn't give up any money. You didn't play. You shouldn't have gotten paid because you didn't play. So you didn't give up money. So don't use that as we gave up something. No, no. The owners were losing money. You were both losing money. But the owners losing money because there were no fans and there's no game. Not the owner's fault. The virus's fault. You lost money because you had money that you thought was guaranteed because of the virus. Not your fault. Not the owner's fault. The virus's fault. You could have come together. There could have been baseball being played today. This weekend, July 4th, you would have had the eyes of the nation on you and not the bad feelings that you have given to the sport. Disgraceful. Again, the fact that I say it, Don LaGreca says it, Peter Rosenberg says it, means nothing. The fact that Derek Jeter said it, when I saw and heard that, guys, I was stunned because that's not his way. That's just not his way.
And I get back to, I understand he's at a different generation because he's 46 years old now. So yep. But yet he played a long time during social media. He played his entire life with the spotlight, never used the media, never used social media, and yet became an icon in his sport and in his city. So I wish a lot of these players would realize that you don't have to grandstand. You don't have to, you know, use social media the way Jamal Adams is to get your point across. You can do it by just being as good a player as you can be. You know, what would Derek do? That's always what we kind of joke about. I wish a lot of athletes would look at that. Because he was able to build his stature without having to use all that garbage.
And I'll tell you what, I got to give the players credit. The players were not the first one to leak out information. It was the owners. The players answered back. And it's hard to argue with them. Once the owners decided to leak out stuff, the players said, hey, we got to get our side out there. It's the owners that started that. I will not give them any kind of slack on that. They're the ones who started leaking out proposals and things like that. They started the fight.
But don't you think the owners started this because they knew how the players would be gullible and take the bait? They probably knew that. And they took it to another level. And I think the players really embarrassed themselves by trying to defend themselves. They didn't come across as great.
No, they didn't. But I think the owners came out worse. Every single proposal they leaked to somebody. Every one. It could have been stopped. It could have been as acrimonious as you want it to be behind the scenes. The fact that it became public in a time like this is something that will never be forgiven or forgotten.
But the thing is nobody knows what owners were leaking things out. But the players that were going public, whether it was Snell, whether it was Harper, they have a face. They have a name. People recognize who they are. So that's why in the court of public opinion, they end up losing because the owners, it's just owners. It could be any of the 30 that leaked it out. And nobody knows who half the owners are anyway. But when a famous player like a Cy Young Award winner, like an MVP, you know, are tweeting and using the media to criticize the owners, that's a face. That's something that the general public can gravitate to.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.